This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to get some great draft insight from my guy, Chris Trapasso, super talented NFL draft and young NFL analyst for CBS Sports. This dude watches so much tape. You should follow him on Twitter, at Chris Trapasso. Chris, is this a time of excitement or relief or exhaustion for you at this stage of the season, almost the draft upon us?
All of the above. I'm really excited for the draft. I'm a little bit exhausted because I have watched a lot of film, but I'm also relieved because I'm zeroing in on about 300 prospects that's watched a bunch of their games, written scouting reports, graded them, ranked them. So it's certainly a fun time. I'm going to be probably as ready as anyone for the draft to get here in a week.
Love it. Chris was talking about New England's comments, Elliott Wolf's comments, that they don't have to, in their view, their claim, take a quarterback at number three. Now, I know that in all these drafts, there can be smoke screens and information is guarded and all of those things. But when you look at a team like New England, right, a team that does need a quarterback, and you look at this draft at three, if you're doing a two-year timeline, if you're just the Patriots and you've just accepted it's going to take you, you have to give away a season. Is this the time to draft a quarterback, or is there some value in trading out of that spot and wait until next year?
Well, I think that caveat that you mentioned is vital. If the Patriots have all gotten together, Gerard Mayo, Elliott Wolf, that new regime there, they've gotten together to say, look, we know we're nowhere near competing in this loaded AFC. Even if we land the quarterback of our dreams in this class, we're still going to be behind even a few teams in our division. Then, no, I don't think they need to pick one. Now, in a vacuum, I think if you're picking at number three and you happen to kind of stumble upon a pretty good quarterback class like this one is, you should pick one. And I think the prime example of that is, look at last year with the Houston Texans. Before the draft, it was, man, this might be, again, one of the worst teams in football. They're still recovering from everything from the Bill O'Brien era, all of that kind of disaster that took place. They draft C.J. Stroud. They get aggressive again, move up right after to get Will Anderson. They get the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, and they win a playoff game. So it's a not-for-long league, and we normally say, oh, it's not for long that you're good, and by the time you're 28 or you're 30, you're too old. But it can also be not for long that you're not for long a bad team. So I think that's kind of playing both sides of the fence. But if the Patriots don't believe they're anywhere close, they should wait. But if they also realize maybe a quarterback can really spark this team in the post-Tom Brady era, this would be the class and the position for them at three to pick a quarterback.
There has been, Chris Trapasso, some interesting divergence on J.J. McCarthy from folks that talk about sports for a living, from people that talk about sports for a living who played football professionally for a living. There's just disagreement. And obviously in these drafts, it's easy to have an opinion. It is really hard to get it right. It's hard for professional GMs to get these things right. So much is on the line. You've got McCarthy going three in your mock draft that dropped a couple days ago. What is it that you see in that quarterback and makes you like him as much as some, but certainly more than others?
It's just the fact that I think he has the traits, and that we always talk about, you know, a day three edge rusher that's a moldable ball of clay. He's long, he's athletic, his best football is in front of him. It feels like, and this is half talking to people around the league and just half what he shows on film from what I've seen, that he is that player who can be a better pro or more productive or more higher volume than he was at Michigan. That it wasn't so much Michigan afraid to let him throw, it was just they knew they could win with their defense, their offensive line, and their run game. Because there were many times, whether it was against Ohio State over the last few years, whether it was in a Big Ten title game against Iowa, or even in the Rose Bowl or the national title against Alabama and Washington, respectively, when they did need that big throw from J.J. McCarthy or the big play, he usually made it. And he does have a pretty strong arm. There's the athleticism that's there. The one thing that, for me, it makes it so hard from my evaluation is apparently he's blowing the doors off of every interview that he's in and that he's super smart when it comes to the X's and the O's. So it's very it's another element to the process that I think why he has seemingly risen up boards very much since the combine when he's been able to get in those interview rooms with a lot of head coaches and general managers.
That's really interesting to me. Chris Trapasso here on Rider Than You. I'm Bill Ryder. Check out Chris's mock draft over at CBSSports.com. His latest dropped a few days. It's really, really, really good. This guy knows his stuff. So I wanted to ask you this, and you sort of hit on this, but I'm so curious. When you are putting together these mock drafts, to what degree is it based on the player? How do you balance player in a vacuum, team needs, team fit, what you would do if you're the GM, and what maybe you think that particular organization would do, even if it diverges from your perspective? How do you balance all of that?
Yeah, fantastic question, and I think that is the answer is it's kind of everything. You have to really factor in it all, and that's why I've done so many mock drafts, like more than a dozen over the last couple of months, because things change, free agency changes things. You can spend time to look at the past history of certain GMs. Do they tend to lean bigger, stronger arm quarterbacks? Do they like more of the point guard? Do they need someone that's a dynamic runner like a Jaden Daniels? So you kind of have to factor that all in. You factor in your own evaluation of a player, and then you try to talk to as many people and rub elbows with as many people as you can at the combine who are in the league that are either helping make decisions for teams or know, hey, this is what the Patriots are not really liking Drake May, so to speak, or whatever the case may be. It's really, you have to combine everything together, which then leads to a bunch of different combinations, even inside the top 10. When I'm starting mock drafts, you know, as early as, you know, Senior Bowl or even before that, where there's just so many different variations based on how fluidly the offseason goes for a lot of different teams.
How good, in your estimation, watching the tape, weighing him against every other player that is available in this draft, how good is Marvin Harrison Jr. going to be in the National Football League?
He's going to be really good right away, and I don't really think it matters which team he ultimately lands on. I actually love the yards after the catch ability and the explosion of Malik Nabers from LSU more, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is an NFL-ready route runner today, and he's not, you know, Tank Dell. He's not 5'9", 165 pounds. He's 6'2 and a half, over 200 pounds with some of the best ball tracking that I've ever scouted. And that's over his shoulder. That's the back shoulder catch. That's with a safety flying down on a dig route to hit him when he still will bring in the football. And for as much as I do think Malik Nabers is going to be special too, he's kind of like a faster version of CeeDee Lamb or Garrett Wilson in that mold. Marvin Harrison truly could have probably been in the NFL last year and been like a 1,000-yard catch guy or a 1,000-yard receiving guy because of how nuanced he is as a route runner. And that's coupled with elite level explosion, speed down the football field, maybe not quite as fluid of an athlete as neighbors, but really ticks so many boxes as just a professional wide receiver.
Obviously, Chris Trapasso here on the show. Obviously, the Chicago Bears are in a really interesting position. They have a ton of picks. We feel like we all know what they're going to do at number one, but they've got another top 10 pick. What do you think they do at nine, and what do you think they should do, which obviously can be different answers sometimes?
Yeah, I think there's two options for them. I think what they should do is prioritize wide receiver. If Malik Nabers is there, who I just gushed about, I think they need to call that pick in immediately. Even Roma Dunze from Washington, I like Brian Thomas from LSU, just to give Caleb Williams to show him, say, look, we're trying to support you. We trade for Keenan Allen. You got your underneath chain mover. You have your number one that's good at the intermediate level and after the catch of DJ Moore. If you get either Nabers or Roma Dunze, you get that guy that can take the lid off the defense down the field because of speed, because of contested catchability. But the Bears only have four picks in this draft. And for as much as, you know, I just mentioned about C.J. Stroud, how quickly he turned things around in Houston, and maybe the Bears feel like they're more close to what Houston was than another team that has a top pick, maybe like a Carolina that they got that pick from, I still think that they understand that there are needs on this team. This is not a, you know, hey, we're just a quarterback away and now we're going to be in the Super Bowl. So I won't be surprised if they get to nine and say the two other receivers are off the board after Harrison Jr., that they actually trade back and say, look, we'll just take the best player available at like 11 or 12 or 15 if the Colts want to move up for a tackle, if the Saints want to move up for a tackle from 14. So I think they should just go receiver, but if they can't, trading back just to get some more of that mid-round cheaper labor in this draft, I think will be vital for a team that kind of feels like they're on the cusp, especially if Caleb Williams is really good.
Chris, one of the things that's amazing about the NFL is the unpredictability of not just outcomes in games and outcomes of seasons, but even in the draft, teams that move up you don't see coming. I remember when the Chiefs went up and got Mahomes, when they had Alex Smith, it was at least to me a pretty surprising notion. I had buddies who covered that team that were not surprised, but it was interesting. Who is, so maybe it's for a quarterback, maybe it's not, is there a team or two that you think are most likely to be the team that moves up earliest or most boldly in this draft?
Well, okay, this, I guess, would be labeled as a surprise because they have the second pick. I think the Washington Commanders are going to be aggressive. They have a load of draft picks. They have a new owner. They have a new general manager, new head coach. I think they want to put a stamp on this new era and that they're going to pick Jaden Daniels. It's kind of, I mean, most likely, and it kind of feels like, all right, well, the draft really starts at three. We kind of have had these Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels picks penciled in for a while or written in pen for a while. But don't be surprised if they then move all the way. I think they have a couple picks like in the 30s and 40s. Use some of those picks to move up to get another premier player in this draft. And it, of course, won't be a quarterback. Could be an edge rusher. Could be another receiver. I think they could, you know, help Jaden Daniels a little bit. Offensive line needs help, and it's a great offensive tackle class. So, yes, there will be a bunch of trades. We had nine in 2022, five last year in the first round. Usually they are for quarterbacks, but don't be surprised if it's, oh, wow, the Commanders are moving all the way from the second round back into the middle of the first. I think usually with new ownership and a full regime change like we have in the nation's capital, I think you normally see those splashy moves to really get people excited again.
Chris, when you're looking at the tape, I'd love you to give me, and it can be a big name or not, a guy who, in your estimation, was better as you got into the weeds on this draft class than you anticipated, and a guy who, if you were a GM, you might avoid that you hadn't expected to have that reaction to?
Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State, is the one that the more I watched, the more I liked. And I kind of knew the book on him going in. It was, hey, he's a little undersized and is not going to check a lot of those physical boxes for some teams. But he's got pretty good athleticism, a little bit raw. I literally saw him use more pass rushing moves as the season progressed. He's one of the younger prospects in this class. He's actually over 2 years younger than Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State, and Laiatu Latu, the other edge rusher from UCLA, who kind of feel like two of the three other first-round edge rushers. So he's very young, 21 years old, and the speed and the bend I thought were better than advertised. And like I mentioned, no, he's not, you know, J.J. Watt or T.J. Watt around the corner, Von Miller, in terms of just how many pass rush moves he has. But I think good enough with such upside because of his age and his athleticism, I think he's going to be really, really good in the NFL. And the one name that kind of scares me a little bit, I'll actually go with Bo Nix from Oregon. He's such an interesting case. At Auburn, does not look draftable whatsoever. Goes to Oregon and was one of the most accurate in terms of completion percentage quarterbacks in college football. Like, set a record last year, almost 78% completion. I didn't see that type of accuracy. It was very much scheme related. A lot of screens, a lot of RPO slants, like easy schemed open throws. Not a ton of defense played really outside of Utah in that Pac-12. I think he's good, but I'm a little concerned that if a team picks him in the first round to be their franchise changer, to elevate everyone around him, that's not really what he did when he had this revitalization in college at Oregon. So Bo Nix is the one that in this quarterback class, I can see it in certain circumstances with almost all these top guys, but Bo Nix scares me a little bit.
Chris Trapasso running that NFL draft marathon, nearing the end, can see the finish line. Buddy, thank you for making time. We're going to get you on next week, too, even though you're slammed. Appreciate you, and congrats on almost being at the big day. Less than a week now.
Thanks a lot, Bill. I always appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.